It's time to believe. It's time to believe, and we've covered different topics. It's time to believe in you. You're great. Did you know that? God, you're great. You have a great purpose. You're great. It's time to believe in others. You know, we got to believe that even our enemies, that they have the potential to be great in Christ too if they surrender all. Amen? We got to believe in you. You got to believe in others. You got to believe in God's plan for your life. You got to believe. It's time to believe that God has a good plan for you, and it's going to produce great blessing and fruit. Do you believe that? It's time to believe. It's time to believe in mercy and grace, in the sense that we don't just understand mercy and grace, but we act as people who understand that they have been given mercy and grace. It's time to believe. And today I want to talk about this. It's time to believe in God's power. I get goosebumps thinking about it. Now I love, Alyssa just left, and we have Alyssa, Eloy, Joseph, and Michelle, our ministry leadership team. I don't know what prayer meeting it was. A few prayer meetings ago, I just prayed for Michelle. And there's something that came to mind that I just haven't let go, in that I believe that these four instruments of God are going to do something that is far beyond comprehension. You know, we're a small church compared to, you know, other large churches. But the impact that I believe God is building with these ministry leaders, team leaders, the impact is going to be bigger than a mega church. You're like, what do you mean? I don't even know what I mean. I just know that God is putting something in place with this team. And there's some more of you out there that God's going to call you to be licensed or, you know, in ministry, so to speak, leadership ministry. But it's just time to believe. There's just something about what God is doing that's setting like a solid foundation so that He can build something amazing on it. It's just a visual something in my heart that I believe. And this, you are a part of all of that, in the sense that God uses people. Not just one person, but uses a body of believers to accomplish awesome things. And I believe that. I believe in His power. I believe He's in control. So it's time to believe in His power. He's putting things together. He knows what He's doing. So it's time to believe in God's power. The main point, time to believe in God's power, regardless of what you see with your eyes. Believe with action. You know, what that means is, we believe, you know, in God's power and supernatural power and divine power, signs and wonders power. But it's time to believe and act, take actions that show that we believe. In other words, when things start going not the right way, that our response isn't always to be go and have a pity party and be depressed. Those aren't actions of someone who believes. Those are not actions of someone who believes in God's power. Right? Think about that. If you like to have pity parties and you have to stop excusing that. To be honest, right? I'm going to step on people's toes. That's okay. When you're having some tough times and you want to go have a pity party and get down and depressed and just mope, those are not actions of someone who believes in God's power. Right. And as you grow in the Lord, and you'll read this throughout Scripture, every time trials hit these Bible characters, they always got stronger. In every one. David and Goliath, Joseph and the prison, Moses. Every time trials came, the Red Sea hit, God just did amazing things. And they got stronger and stronger. Paul? So when we say we believe in God's power, it also means we start acting, taking actions of someone who believes in God's power. Amen? I hope you're getting it in the series because, you know, when I first thought about the series title, It's Time to Believe, you know, it was like, we all believe in salvation. We all believe in, yeah, but do you act like it? That was the challenge God was giving me. You believe I can do amazing things, but are you acting like it? You know, pastors like to have pity parties too, right? And moping sessions. Why isn't God doing it this way or that way? Or why aren't these people responding this way or that way? Although you guys are amazing, amazing people. Whenever we need help, you guys are there to help. And I was being challenged in my heart. It's time to believe means act. So let's go to the opening scripture, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. I have a lot of scriptures. I'm going to try to go through them quickly. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is Paul talking to the Ephesians. He's like, I heard some great things about you guys, so I'm giving God a lot of thanks, making mention of you in my prayers. And he says, I'm praying for you. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Let the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us, Lord, we believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And as he has put all things, God has put all things under the feet of Jesus and gave him to be the head over all things in the church, to the church, which is his body and fullness of him that filleth all in all. I love this scripture. God's all powerful and Jesus has been given full authority. In verse 17, Paul is saying, I'm praying for you saints to have wisdom and revelation and understanding. In verse 18, Paul is saying, I hope you understand the rich inheritance that you have in God. In verse 19, Paul is saying, and I hope you comprehend the exceeding greatness of his power. In verse 20, it describes, here's an example of his power. Look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Don't you just love that? The example of his great power is the gospel. His love sent Jesus, he died, and he rose again. He conquered death, sin, and the grave, and he rose. The stone was rolled away. And in that, right there, represents the power of God. And because Jesus was sinless and he died for you and me, it says there in verse 21 and 22 that God has given him all authority and power, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess in this time, in this earth, and in the time to come in the heavenly realm when the new Jerusalem comes, right? And for all eternity, Jesus Christ is power, is the authority. It's time to believe that we serve the all-powerful creator of all the universe. His power is real. It is real. It is so real. You know, the the Revelations talks about. I love that. There's certain songs that have come out that touch this about who is worthy to open the scroll and to break the seal in Revelations. And no one is worthy except one. You know, that visual of just who is worthy to open up these scrolls of Revelations and these seals, and just nobody's worthy but one, and the angels are singing, and there's only one, and that's Jesus Christ. It's just, and he's our friend, and he's there for us. We have access to amazing power. Amen. Do you believe? What is divine power? When something happens that is believed to come from a supernatural. So basically, divine power is something that happens supernaturally. That's not natural. It's a sign and a wonder. So in that first underline, starts with an S, supernatural deity. What is power? Divine power, supernatural God. I want to talk about three things that pertains to power. Number one, the power to save. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel. What is the gospel? For God so loved the world, he sent his son to die and rose again, that I could have my sins forgiven and be righteous before God. That gospel, that good news. For we're not ashamed of this gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe. It's time to believe. Everyone that believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's you and me, by the way, the Greek, the Gentile. Everyone else. The gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Only God has the power to save. It's time to believe in the power of God to save. Me and you don't save. Right? The Bible is very clear that we are called. Even when you pray for somebody and you lead them to Christ and they accept Jesus Christ, and we plant, we water, right? And God is the one that saves. God is the one that delivers. God is the one that sets the captives free. His Holy Spirit, the work of his power. Not us. We are instruments that believe by faith that God's power can do these things. But sometimes ministers may get confused that it's their wonderful presence that's healing people. That's when they get into trouble, right? Always give God the honor, the praise, and the glory. Always. I love to read Paul in the New Testament because people try to bow down to Paul. You know, there's some stories. You know, they're like, oh, we bow down. Paul's like, no, get up. Don't bow down to me. When they saw Paul doing miracles like the lame walking and blind seeing, they wanted to bow down to Paul, and Paul would make sure to say, he knew where the power came from. It came from God Almighty. The power. Power to save. You know, most of us in this room have experienced that supernatural power to be transformed. When I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, I was forever transformed. And it's hard to explain, but the actions are evident that he changed me. And I began a journey that continues until this day. My mind continues to be renewed. Be not conformed. Go to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I love this scripture. One that I memorized when I was young. When I was struggling with just things in the world. Whether I should do this or I should do that. Is this a sin? You know, we've all gone through that, right? Is this a sin? If I go to the movies, is that a sin? You know, everyone has these little questions they ask. What's right? What's wrong? Right? Halloween's coming up. So if I participate in this Halloween thing at work, is that a sin? Is that not a sin? You all want me to give you that answer? Go ask God. That's what my answer to you. Go pray and get in your closet. You ask God. He'll tell you. You want my opinion? I'll give it to you. But at the end of the day, you know, there are things that are sin to you that are not sins to me. Right? Of course, stealing is a sin for everybody. But you know what I'm talking about? If God has told you do not, and you do, it is a sin. Right? And if God didn't tell your neighbor and they do, it's not a sin. Right? So there's no black and white answers to everything. At the end of the day, I believe this, and I, as a pastor, I will always guide you this way if it's one of those gray areas. Is like, you pray, you get on your knees, you seek God for direction, and then you, because there's two sides to every story, right? And let me give you a perfect example. I'm going off track a little bit. Maybe somebody needs to hear this because Halloween's coming up, I guess. So. There could be two ways to look at this. For example, let's say your coworkers are having an event and you don't go. And one way to look at it is that you're separating yourself from your coworkers, and you're not going to be able to witness to them later because they're going to look at you as you must be better than us, and you kind of distance yourself. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is they need to see that you're different and that you're standing up for something, right? And there's always more than one way to look at things. The best answer you'll ever get from me is the Bible says the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth for you, right? There was one time in my life when I felt the Lord told me not to go to the movies. And I never told anybody else not that it was a sin or it was wrong for them. It was just between me and God. I go to the movies now, so it wasn't like a permanent, well, I don't get a chance because life is busy. But the point is that there may be things that God is asking you to do and not necessarily applying to everybody. Right? So, as I was growing up and the Lord changed my life, I was going through these questions. Is this right? Is this wrong? And so this scripture became a real big, big part of my life early on. And it says this, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. This scripture helped me a lot. When I first read it, it made no sense. So I had to read it from another version because the King James made no sense. I read it from the Living Word version. It made more sense to me. But it helped me because we're not to be conformed to this world. But what I really, really liked about this scripture is telling me that my mind will be renewed. And renewing means it's continuing. Until the day you die, your mind is going to be renewing. And that means you never stop learning. You never stop having new revelation or new understanding. While I am being renewed, I am promised eternal life, even though I'm not worthy for eternal life. Why? Because God has the power to save. And He has the power to save anybody. So the second one, power, oh, the underline there, by the way, only what? God has the power to save. Number two, time to believe in God's power. Power to defeat darkness. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the scriptures say, for God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You know, fear comes from darkness. The next underline in your handout. Fear comes from darkness. Fear comes from the enemy. Because it's clear that God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. Because we just read it. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. verse 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. God is all-powerful and can defeat darkness. Jesus has the power to defeat darkness. Go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. All of this will come to pass one day in the book of Revelations. We may not understand it. We may not totally comprehend it. But it doesn't change that God has the power. And I love to read Revelations, this especially this last part, because it shows that we win. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon and the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan. And he bound him 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little for a little season. And I saw thrones that they sat upon them. The judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon his forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as of the sand, number of sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of saints about, and believed, and beloved, the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged, and of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever name was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We win. Right? Jesus wins. All this that we read will happen one day. The devil will be cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And he'll be let loose for a season to tempt the people. And then anybody who chose the devil and the enemy in that way, unrighteousness way, the way of sin, will be cast into the bottomless pit forever. But those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're good. That's why Jesus said, don't tremble that demons are subject to you, but tremble that your name is written in this book of life. Because Jesus has all authority. God has the power and will defeat darkness. Do you believe? I believe. It's time to believe in God's power. Jesus has full authority and power over all. That's your next underline. Full authority and power. That's why the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We serve a God of power. The last power, it's time to believe in the power of God to intervene. In Jeremiah chapter 10, let's read it. It's there in your handout. But God made the earth by His power, and He preserves it by His wisdom. You know that scientists don't even know exactly how the earth stays exactly where it's supposed to stay around the sun so that you can have winter, summer. You know, they have all these theories about black matter. You know, I learned this a little bit, but it gets too detailed. But they have these theories called black matter that when the earth is revolving around the sun, they don't even understand how the earth doesn't just swing out and the planets don't just like go off. The sun is strong. They don't know all the mathematical formulas that is making all that work. But God has the power to intervene. You see, that's pretty amazing power. It says even right there, we just read it. But God made the earth by His power, and He preserves it by His wisdom. And with His own understanding, He preserves it. He stretched out the heavens. When He speaks in the thunder, the heavens roar with rain. He causes the clouds to rise over the earth. He sends the lightning with the rain and releases the wind from His storehouses. God has the power to intervene. In Psalms 147, verse 5, it says, "Great is our Lord, and of great power, His understanding is infinite." Do you believe God has all power? I do. I do. In Numbers 22, verse 21, God just decided to show off one day about this ability He has to intervene with His great power. He decided to show off one day. You know the story of Balaam, right? So Balaam was being a little bit hard-headed, right? I won't read all the story there. You can read it yourself. In Numbers chapter 22, starting verse 21. He was being a little hard-headed, and he wanted to go someplace, and God wanted to go somewhere else, or didn't want him to go. And so an angel of the Lord shows up, but only the donkey could see the angel of the Lord. Right? So you just picture, you know, the donkey and Balaam on the donkey, and he's telling him, "Go, go, go, go." But the donkey's like, "I can't go. There's an angel of the Lord in front of me. I can't move." And Balaam gets so upset, he threatens the donkey, "I'm going to kill you. You don't obey me." Until God decides to show off with His intervention power. And He makes the donkey speak, right? And the donkey says some words. And verse 28 of Numbers 22. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. And the donkey, I guess she said, the donkey was a she. The donkey said this to Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me 3 times. Balaam said unto, this was the funny thing, is Balaam starts talking back to the donkey. Balaam says to the donkey, "Because thou hast mocked me, you won't listen to me. I would there were a sword in my hand right now, I'd kill you. I don't think I'd be threatening the donkey to kill it when it's talking to me. I don't know if that was his, he might not be as bright. Verse 30, and the donkey said unto Balaam, I'm not thine donkey upon which, aren't I the one that you've ridden for all these years? Was I ever disobedient? And Balaam says, no, you haven't. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head, and he fell flat on his face. That's why the donkey couldn't move, because the angel of the Lord was there. But God just wanted to show off. And the point I want to make here, God has the power to intervene however he wants, whenever he wants. Amen? All signs and wonders in God's word and all the signs and wonders we have witnessed in our own lives are moments when God used his power to intervene over and over. And you have stories of God intervening. Well, your first story is salvation, right? It's time to believe in God's power. Everything's going to be okay. He loves us. He's a good, good Father, we sang. It's time to believe in God's power. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. So the last underline there is God can make a donkey talk if needed. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. It's time to believe in God's power. The Bible says there, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. It's great to know, it's great to be able to know to say the right things. It's great to use your gifts for the kingdom of God. But fancy words or the ability to speak and persuade people. You know, there are motivational speakers that could come in here and make you do things you would never thought you would do. Right? Motivational speakers. That's not the way God's power works. The kingdom of God is about power. Things being changed, God intervening, signs and wonders, people getting saved, people growing, people being set free, people coming to the knowledge and understanding of Christ. Church, we serve a powerful, powerful God. We do not need to be afraid about what's ahead or worried about how this is going to get done or that's going to get done. Our God is more than able. How do I know our God is more than able? Because you know there's a scripture that says that in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And I have it underlined in my Bible, and if you don't, you might want to. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. No need to worry. Let me say it a little different. If you want to worry, some of you just like to worry, like it kind of gives you life. Worry, I don't know if you know people like that. They just like to always be worried. If you want to worry, worry about this. Worry about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Right? You want to really, really worry? Just because as long as you have, you pray and you read and you love God, you don't really have to worry even in trials. Because God is a good God. Mercy, grace. He loves you. And when it's time for us to be done with this earth, don't worry. We will dance in the streets of gold. No need to worry. We serve an all-powerful God. Just put your life in that perspective. All-powerful God who loves me. If I have my life, if I have a daily walk with Him, if I read and pray, and if you're living your life now and you're not finding that time to read every day and pray every day, that's what you need to be worried about. But don't worry about your life, because God says it is His, He wants you to prosper and be in good health. It's time to believe in God's power. Live your life with confidence that you serve the Most High God. Admit your mistakes and repent. Then be holy because God is holy. That's what the Bible says. People who truly believe in God's power will act with obedience, with commitment, with strong faith. God's got this. He's got your life. Trust Him. He made a donkey speak. He will intervene for you. Believe in His power in all things. It's time to believe. If you close your eyes and bow your head. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This series has been about reminding us that we are Christians and we believe in certain things. But it's not good enough just to believe. Because even the enemy believes in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. But to act, to take actions of great men and women of God, that I believe you are. I believe there are many of you in this place that you haven't even scratched the surface for how God is going to use you in a great and amazing way to help people, to serve people, to advance His kingdom, to take ground for His kingdom. We just got to believe. All things are possible. Believe in the power of Jesus Christ. So today we're going to end this way. I'm going to count to three. And if you are receptive to the message of being determined that you're going to act on this belief, that you're going to act, take actions on believing that God's got your life under control. You're just going to trust Him, believe in His power. If that's you this morning, after a count of three, I want you to stand and I want to pray for you. Because it's time for us to believe and to take the actions and to just see God do amazing things. Do not doubt. Be confident. So if that's you, you're going to begin to act and you've chosen to believe in His wonder-working signs and wonders power. Just stand. One, two, three. Just stand and just say, I believe in His power. I believe that my life is being directed by the Holy Spirit and the power of God. Heavenly Father, you see your people standing, not just wanting to go through the motions of life and just get by. Lord, we want all that you have for us. We want your power in our lives. We want you to do amazing things through us. We believe in the resurrection saving power of Jesus Christ. We believe that you have power to defeat any darkness in our lives. And we believe that you have power to intervene at any moment, any way that you please. Because the earth hangs at the perfect distance from the sun, because you have the power. And Lord, whatever trials anybody's going through in this place this morning, whatever situation that they're struggling with financially, relationships, at work, just as you spoke the words and the universe came to being, you have the power to intervene, not by might nor by power, but by the name of Jesus Christ. Not our own ability. We just trust you, Lord. We leave this place with joy and confidence that you've got this. That somehow, some way, you will make a way where there seems to be no way. Because you're the God of power. If God is for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. In your precious name. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. Thank you, Lord.